Welcome to the Podcast Profits Unleashed podcast on Mintwave Radio and all podcast platforms. If you're a coach, consultant, therapist, or healer with an online program and would like to find out how to grow your business whilst having fun podcasting, go to podcastprofitsunleashed.com/free. Let's dive into today's episode.
Welcome to the show. And today we have Alison Smith, who's a speaker, a coach, an author, and a podcaster. And today we're going to be talking about seeing the wood through the trees. I'm your host, Karen Roberts, helping coaches, therapists get their message out there to the people who need to hear it through podcasting. So Alison could never be described as boring, she says. Unconventional is a possibility too. She has over 23 years experience working as a coach and a speaker, and she is a podcaster herself with Landscaping Your Life with Alison Smith. She helps her guests see the wood through the trees, especially when they feel stuck or don't know what to do. So welcome to the show, Alison.
Thank you for having me. Delighted to be here.
And Alison is up in Scotland. So first of all, Alison, would you like to share a little bit about what inspired you to help really your guests that are feeling stuck be able to see the wood through the trees?
I think it was because I found tools and techniques that helped me when I was stuck. So in the late 90s, my husband left the marriage and start exploring things, started learning new tools and techniques, realised I was a bit of an awkward so, and therefore people couldn't give me advice. I had to find it to myself, and realised that metaphor helped. And so I suppose from then, I realised that if it works for me, it can work for other people. And I was very lucky at the time that I had a boss who said, "Oh, emerging teams, why don't you become our coach? Why don't you use what you're learning to make the transition as into one team better?" And I suppose then, 18 years ago, realized there was a law of diminishing returns by working with the same team. It's like I'd passed everything on. They already knew the tools and techniques. So I started working for myself and do a mix really of consultancy and then all of the what we're going to be talking about, using metaphor to help people when they're stuck, because sometimes we get in our own way and keep ourselves stuck longer than we need to be.
Yeah, I would say it's always us, isn't it? We are in our own way. It will be nice to blame something on something outside of ourselves, external, but then we can't do anything about them. So the only thing we can change is us. So actually that's incredibly empowering. So how do you actually do this then? How do you help your guests your clients see the wood?
When I started, it was let's use nature as a metaphor for our lives, and we'd go out and we'd notice patterns in nature. So it might be if somebody wanted to turn a corner, we'd go and turn a corner. Or it could just be that we'd look at a landscape and go, what part of that landscape represents your stuckness or the problem? And then we'd explore the patterns within the landscape. What then happened was I realized I started noticing in people's language, particularly when we're stuck, that we already have an idea of a metaphor, in as much that we'll say, can't see the wood for the trees. I'm up a creek without a paddle, stuck in a rut, like a fish out of water. Uphill struggle. I could go on. So there's lots of phrases that we use when we're stuck, and we're using them to convey to the other person, we are stuck, there are no solutions. And yes, sometimes we're perhaps blaming somebody else, but there's a buying in by our language that there are no solutions. And what I realized was when we can't see the wood for the trees, what happens if we go, so we're saying there are no solutions. I don't know what to do. I'm in overwhelm. If we send the story we're telling on a coffee break, as I call it, so I don't want to know about the story, I can get quite rude if somebody wants to tell me about the story, because that's of no importance, because we're just going to talk about and keep ourselves more stuck if we start talking about that person and I've tried this before and that won't work. I want to send that on a coffee break. You can come back and be negative or even critical and assess what we've come up with. But let's just have a bit of breathing space without the story. And you've already said it can't see the wood for the trees. So what would you do if you were in a real wood trying to see it for the trees? And then it's, oh, I'd follow a path. I'd get a map out. I had one team where we were embodying this. So we were in a wood and a ranger, like a park ranger, walked past. And we obviously looked lost. And they said, oh, do you want a map? We all laughed. I don't know whether they realised why we all laughed. It's, oh, yes, perhaps a map might help. So I think it's using the phrase to actually find a solution. So if you're stuck between a rock and a hard place, go out into nature and find safely something that would emulate and reflect that rock and a hard place. Or what's it? I'm keeping imagining it, the uphill struggle. I just laughed when I went outside and emulated an uphill struggle. It was 5 minutes. You see what I mean? It's not an up mountain struggle, it's an uphill struggle. And hills invariably are not that big. So I think what we realise, yeah, though I'm giving up too soon, you know, oh God, there's when I did it for the podcast, it's like there's this steep slope that would be a bit muddy and slippy. Oh, there were steps. But hang on a minute. In what way am I trying to make it more difficult? And if I went up the steps, that's going to be easier. So I think that's what happens, is that we take the patterns with us on a holiday, on the walk, or into the metaphor, and then we're able to go, oh, I'm making it more difficult, or I'm not focusing on the right thing. Yeah,
this is exactly what all of us do, isn't it? And I love what you said there about, it's almost like we own it. So we state this phrase and we've just encompassed everything about that, and we, you know, the perception is that it is immovable. But yeah, like you say, an uphill struggle, and that hill could be, there you go, there's the top. So yeah, it might be a bit of a struggle, but I'm going to get there in the next hour. It's okay. It's not forever. And no. I suppose that's the thing, Pete, when people are feeling stuck, it's the time frame, isn't it? If you've, okay, you don't mind being stuck for a little while, but it's that whole longevity. They just see it as it's an immovable object. For you, once you've done this to make them maybe look at this in a slightly different way, then, you know, what is your process? How do you then help them totally overcome these imaginary obstacles?
Yes, I think that's the thing. It's what I realise, because I used to say, oh, I help people get unstuck. And I now realise what that process does is enable people to move from that it's not solvable to it's solvable. Because everybody knows what they want to do or knows what to do. It's just the overwhelm and the belief in it's not solvable is what stops us seeing the solutions and knowing what to do. So what mostly happens in coaching sessions with me, which is why I tend to only have one session, possibly two, or if I have them, they're 6 months apart, is all I do is shift somebody's mindset from I don't know what to do to I do know what to do. And then they're free to walk the path on their own or find another coach that's more ideally suited to walking on the path. I'm very good at getting people out of the rut. I might say yanking them out of the rut sometimes, but it's that, it's sort of the shove, really, to get out of that stuckness, to then go, oh, I had one person who rang me, and I do have friends where when they're having a really bad day, I'll ring, I am the friend you ring when you're having a bad day. Not because I've got the answer, but because they know they'll feel better after a few questions. So one person rang, and I was in the process of writing the book, Can't See the Wood for the Trees. And I'd say, oh, what chapter heading? I've just written the chapters. Which chapter heading resonates? And she literally was so overwhelmed. She'd got a deadline in. It was like lunchtime. Deadline was 5 o'clock in the evening. And she's just headless chicken. It's, oh, my God, no, I don't know what to do. And so literally all I said was, which phrase? Oh, can't see the wood for the trees. Okay. Now, because we weren't in a wood, because she was at the other end of the phone, I had to then say, what sorts of trees are you imagining? And she said, it's a forest. It's forest. There's so many trees. And I went, now this is when I can get pedantic. The phrase isn't, although it is in some parts of the world. But in the UK, the phrase isn't, you can't see the forest for the trees. Because you can't. A forest's too big. So you would never be able to see a forest for the trees. But in the UK, it's can't see the wood for the trees. So I said, it's not can't see the forest. So as soon as I reframed the fact that, oh, it's a wood, in her mind, those trees, and I don't even know what the tree type was before. She said, oh, those trees have changed into beech trees. Now, I don't need to know why that was helpful. I don't, you know, there's no logic behind it. It's just she had an internal representation for this overwhelming problem that was forest big with trees of a particular type. And as soon as she changed her internal representation to beech trees, she went, oh, that feels better, which is now what I realize I'm searching for. Oh, I know what to do. And she literally put the phone down on me because the deadline was still the deadline. So it was still 5 o'clock, but she now felt better and she now knew what to do. And that was why she'd rang. She hadn't rang for me to tell her what to do. She'd rang to shift from overwhelm to some sense of grounding. So you could argue that we're using nature. This is the first time I've said it like this, that we're using nature to ground us back into the reality of the situation, which then enables us to go, all right, yeah, that path, that corner, that hill. Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? So many people think that a coach is going to be telling them what to do. But what I'm hearing from you, it is this whole thing about having clarity. It's such an intangible, but it's the most important thing. Because like you say, you do know, you normally do know what you need to do. You might need to upgrade some skill sets or something or learn something, but you know what you need to do. But isn't it interesting that we somehow lost trust in our inner knowing, lost trust in our inner knowledge, isn't it? We do have this, we all have this, but we create all these stories in our head that confuse things, that overwhelm, become all these, not birch trees, because you can see through them, but other trees with lots of leaves that you can't see. And we're doing it to ourselves. So having somebody like you just on the end of the phone to just, again, it's all about shifting the belief in the person, isn't it? So that they can just see things slightly different and go, ah. And sometimes just verbalizing it clears it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Sort of. I remember one, because certainly since lockdown, I've done a lot more sessions where the person is walking around in nature. I'm not. I'm in the office. I did try and both of us wandering around, but I don't. My landscape is of no use to them. So I just ask questions as they wander around. So there was somebody wandering around in Florida and they resonated with can't see the wood for the trees. So they're in this sort of forest wood. And what the pattern that I noticed then, and I realize it's a pattern that a lot of people have when they can't see the wood for the trees, is when I say, so anybody listening, if you can think of a situation you can't see the wood for the trees of, fine. So now ask your question. Imagine the wood. Where do you want to get to? Now, most people, even when they're saying they can't see the wood for the trees, and therefore one would assume the destination is the wood, 75% of people say the other side of the wood. So it's that, oh my God, we're using a saying that is absolutely saying, by the way, I don't want to be in the wood, but I'm allowing myself to get distracted by the wood. So what happened with that particular person was that I want to be the other side of the wood. And so then it was oh my God, yes, I'm getting myself distracted by that path. I keep thinking that path might be a better path. And what about that path? 2 years later, I get a recommendation that said my turnover is timed 5, and that call was instrumental because I stopped distracting myself. I focused on what I wanted. I knew what I wanted. I was so sure I knew what I wanted, and yet I was allowing the paths to say, oh, perhaps I'm wrong. But no, and that happens so often. Which direction do you want to go? There was 6 business leaders, me and one of them, said, where do you want to go? Oh, there, absolutely. You'd be no doubt that person wanted to go down that path. They took 10 steps down that path, and then they kept looking back at us. Oh, I don't know. But where do you want to go? Down that path. So they walk back, and literally the like little bridge across the stream that they could see in the opposite direction. Oh, perhaps we should go and look at that. But where do you want to go? Oh, I want to go that way. And it's that, really? And the thing is, that's such a great example, but without the detail. That's why not bringing the detail with us is helpful, because when we've got the detail, this expert has said over here that we should do this, and this expert says that. And so actually when we've got the content of the story that we're telling ourselves, is really easy to get distracted. Whereas once you send that on a coffee break, then it's much easier to go, the pattern is distraction. The pattern is, I absolutely know 100% where I want to go. And yet the pattern is, oh my God, I am like that little magpie seeing shiny things at every corner. And so that person was able to commit to getting to that destination.
I would totally agree. That is the biggest problem for everyone, because there's so many things that we think we should be doing. I hate those words. I've done it myself, and it wasn't the path that I wanted to go down. And I can see myself in that, because you're being told there's so many different ways. But if you want to go down that, I don't want to go that way, but I feel I should do, because they told me that's the way. And just being crystal clear on your path it's going to save you time, because it takes a lot of energy, doesn't it, to be, instead of focusing on your one path, worrying about all the other little options and a little bridge over a stream. It might look pretty and you might want to have a look at the view, but it's not going in the direction that you want to go in. And I think we get caught up and waste so much time and energy on all this other stuff. And the way you put it, it's funny, isn't it? It sounds so simple.
Yeah.
Which it is. Which it actually is. But it's us that are overcomplicating. I'm on hands up. I have definitely simplified. Because I can overcomplicate everything and then go, why are you doing that, Karen? Come back. And life's a lot easier when you do that. So life's going to be so much easier when you can see the wood through the trees. I love all these sort of visuals that you're creating with these questions. And that is what's making it go, you can look at yourself, go, that was silly, wasn't it? I'm totally overcomplicated absolutely everything.
Let's, I mean, the other thing that, if you're not resonating with can't see the wood for the trees, but it's I've got this problem that I'm struggling with, is, or I can't make a decision about, then just go for a walk. Ideally a walk where you know there's crisscrossing paths. So I was out with a friend the other week and was like, oh my God, this would be such a brilliant place, because there was literally paths coming and going in every direction. Because if you take your problem on a walk and you get to crossroads and you say, which direction do I want to go? And then take note of, why am I choosing that direction? Oh, it's the easiest path. Oh, that's the path that's got no signpost. Or that will get me where I want to go. Or oh, there's something nice down there. Whatever. What you're able to do if it's one of these here in Scotland. I did it at Edinburgh Botanical Gardens, and again, really helpful because there's lots of different paths. But it's about noticing our behaviour in relation to either making the decision, or I did a podcast episode where I'd written a poem about paths and destinations, and one of the stanzas is about some paths are simply a means of getting to the next crossroads. You don't need to know where you're going. It's just about get to the crossroads, and then you have to make a decision. I.e., you don't have to make a decision now, but you will have to when you get to the crossroads. But the pattern in me was, so I was on a path I didn't know. I didn't know when the first crossroads would be. And I set out, and within 20 seconds, I don't know where I'm going. Perhaps it'll be easier if I go back. Now, this was not a big park. The chances of there being no crossroads within the next 5 minutes was very unlikely. On one level, my head could go, you're not that far from a crossroads. But every other part of me was resonating with a pattern in life, which is, I don't like not knowing. So wow. It's like that not knowing was the podcast episode. I still will listen to it because it just reminds me, and I'm laughing at myself while I'm doing it, going, I cannot tell you the resistance for me putting one foot in front of another, even because I want to go back. Even if going back now is going to take me longer to go back to where I know than going forward.
And that, again, is so common. So,
yeah.
It is. It's the, again, it's, God, you simplify everything. You're really simplifying everything, because that is the big fear, isn't it? Is the unknown. Yet it's all unknown. But again, we have created a story in our own heads to say that is the known. You don't know. But we want to be in control or think. We are in control. And so that one fear in and of itself is what is holding people back. But what else? What other things do you think are things that sort of standing in people's way from, because they're almost like you said at the beginning, they've owned this. I can't see the wood through the trees. Yeah. I'm stuck. So what else do you think is stopping people from, rather than staying in that space, which isn't very comfortable, isn't it? It's not very nice. It's not a nice feeling. What is stopping them from even reaching out for help?
Oh, okay. Three things have come to mind. So let me write them down because I'll forget. And then there's the, all right, half path. The first thing is that we do a lot of half path taking. So this isn't about the help bit, but we do a lot of half path taking. It's like, we get so far, then we go back to the beginning because we might be wrong. So in the book, I say half a path gets us nowhere. We have to commit to the whole path, get to that, to the end of that path, then we can make a decision. And it might even be to come back again, but at least if we're getting into the commitment for a path. So I think perhaps one of the things we, and I know I do, is that I don't commit. It's, I'll try it. And then it's, oh yeah, that didn't work. And therefore you come back to the beginning rather than going, I've done that path, it didn't work, but I'm starting from a new place from which to then make a decision about what to do. So there's a lot of half path taking going on. One of the other things that I got about why we repeat patterns was I was embodying, so the podcast is all about taking these sayings out into nature. So series two and series three are all me going, here I am on a beach, here I am wherever. And I was on a beach and I was embodying stepping over the line. And the whole idea was this pattern had been repeated. I was stepping over the line and I didn't want to repeat the pattern again. Cross the line. So sometimes it's I don't want to cross the line, and sometimes it's I'm going to cross the line and never return. Now, when I was there on this beach, there was a few things going on. One, it sounds simple, but this is when the patterns help, because I've got no content that's further confusing it. When I drew the line over which I was going to cross, it has to be a long line. The first line I drew was so titchy, you didn't have to cross over it because you could get around it. So sometimes I think we don't commit to half-heartedly go, oh, I'm never doing that again. Because the other thing that happened is that once I drew a long line, and so therefore I had to cross it, when I crossed it, the first thing I wanted to do was run and put some distance between me and the line and not look back. And what I realized, because I did, there was another idiom that I did a few weeks later that escapes me currently, but the pattern was similar, where it was, we make a commitment, we cross that line, we say the words, I'm never coming back, and then we keep looking back and going, was that the right thing to do? And it's, you know what? We'll just, these patterns, if these are patterns that we've been living for years, if it's a circle we've been going round in and we look back, we will see something really familiar about that circle because we have lived and breathed it. And therefore, it will just wink at us and go, oh, but you love us. Didn't you have a good time doing all that circling? Please come back. And so I got a real sense. And this is why it's brilliant to go out and embody it, because I'm sharing with you what I got. The reason I do the podcast out in nature is because then I'm not, I sometimes do share what other people have got, but I'm living it in the moment going, I wasn't expecting that. So it really was, no, I have committed to cross the line. I've committed to not go back there. So I am A, not looking back, and I am B, putting some distance between me and it.
Love that. And that is it.
Yeah, I mean, it was huge. That's why I like doing it, because it's, and I suppose that's why the podcast works, because I'm not just regurgitating what's happened in the past. I'm going, oh my God, I didn't expect that. Because it's each time you go into nature, I live by a beach, the beach teaches me new things all the time. Because I'm coming at it with new patterns, I'm coming at it with new problems, so of course I'm going to notice different patterns. The other quick question about why don't we reach out to ask for help? I'm not sure that my techniques answer that. I suppose there's an element of we believe in our stuckness and we believe it can't possibly be easy and perhaps don't feel safe. I think it's the fact that we don't know what we don't know. So we're definitely in that I'm stuck. And nobody else is going to be able to see it differently. There isn't a different perspective upon which to see it. So why would asking for help be going to be helpful? So I think sometimes waiting until we really are, really. I rang a friend the other week and she says, why didn't you ring me earlier? It's like, I don't know. I've started to say to a few people that, about one particular issue, when I get back here, can you please say, have you rang X? Because X, for that particular problem, can sort me out just like that. But I forget. I get pulled into the pattern. I get pulled into the story. So I suppose that's the other thing. We get caught up in our story and we believe the story. Because you said earlier, it's not the other people, it's us. But when we're, I can always remember when I first did NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, and my languaging had changed and I had a bad day. And I slammed the phone down back in the day when we had all sorts of phones. And I slammed it down. And, yeah, might have said a few choice words. And the person said, have you stopped doing NLP then? Because it was that whole, suddenly I was in the story. I was believing the story. I was blaming them for being the pain in the whatever. And yet that person could observe that for months I hadn't been there. So I think there's something that we get drawn in and we don't want it to be us, do we? We don't want it to be our...
No.
We want it sometimes to be that other person that's been awkward, not the fact that if we could change our beliefs or, you know, it's hard, yeah. Isn't it?
And it does oversimplify things. And again, we're almost, our brains, I think, are looking for more complex.
Yeah.
Oh dear, but that would be the easier route. We're so silly. When you can step back and see that as you've described it, it's, oh yeah, why don't we just do that with everything?
No.
We don't. Not sure why. But for the listeners out there, if they're feeling a little bit stuck right now and that's resonating with them, what should the listeners do next?
If they wanted to listen to my podcast, because that would help, because there's certainly series 2 and 3 episodes. It's Go to Landscaping Your Life podcast, available wherever you get your podcast from. And that would, yeah, and then pick an episode that resonates with how you're feeling. Series 4, so some people may, when they start find me, go, oh, she's got series 4. Series 4 will be a bit different, because I think you'll be able to go to any episode and get insight, because I'm doing it slightly differently. So yeah, or just find Landscaping Your Life on most social media. You can find me there. I do have a website, but there's a few Alison Smiths, so it is alisonsmith.co, but Landscaping Your Life will find me. But the interesting thing is, if you're stuck, a really quick way of getting unstuck is to draw the mountain that depicts your current stuck situation. So just like a 1 minute quick drawing of the mountain, and then make changes to that mountain that would make that less stuck. So it might be paths, it might be less steep, it might be hills around it, it might be base camps, signposts, maps. And then just notice what you notice about the problem you were thinking of once you've made that second picture.
I love that. It's a great visual to use to help people go from a place of feeling stuck to, oh, hey, you can see the wood through the trees. Yeah. I love the idea of the birch. I'm going to think of that. Alison, thank you so much for your time today. If you want to find links to get in touch with Alison, they will be in the show notes. And to the listeners, I will be back next week. So bye for now.
Thank you for listening to today's episode on the Podcast Profits Unleashed podcast. If you're a coach, consultant, therapist or healer who would like to drive sales whilst having fun podcasting, head over to podcastprofitsunleashed.com/free and find out how you can turn your podcast into a sales machine. We'll see you on the next episode.